Father in worship today, worshiping with your shoes off. Worshiping with your shoes off. You need to have your shoes off to worship. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we started this, our opening text, Jesus with this woman. I'm going to read it, the 19th verse. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, one of the gifts of the Spirit, a word of knowledge had come out, a supernatural manifestation of a happening of fact in the mind of God. Jesus used the gifts of the Spirit. And so the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." You with me? Verse 20, "And our Father worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Worship the Father. Then verse 22 says, "Ye worship, you know not what." Now you have to know what you're worshiping or who you're worshiping. We know what we worship. We got to know what we're doing too. For salvation is of the Jews. And then verse 23 says, "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers," you add another term, you see, I told you 10 things there, "shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Then verse 24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And I told you that worship create intimacy. You cannot worship God and not get close to him. You cannot worship God and God not get closer to you. It created an intimacy. But then we go to Matthew 15, we talk about imitation or illegal worship. Illegal or imitation worshiping is illegal. It's just going through the motion, but it's not in the frame of spirit and truth. Therefore, it's going through the formality that look like the same thing. But one has an outward appearance of worship, but the other one really worshiping for the inner recesses of their heart. You here with me? See, we got to know the false to know the truth. Or we have to know the truth to know the false. Then in Matthew 15, verses 8 and verses 9. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This is illegal worship. Illegal worship. Imitation of the real thing. So the ninth voice bring an indictment. God said, "This kind of worship I'm not even accepting. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Then over in Acts, and I'll let you sit down, in Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17. Now this is ignorant worship, ignorantly worshiping. Don't know who they're worshiping, just got their hand in the air. Verse 22 of 17 chapter of Acts, then Paul, that apostle Paul, stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athen, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." I tell you, I guess you become superstitious when you don't worship right, you know, hoping something will happen. I wonder if he's real. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you.'" Now you may be seated. My task this morning is to teach you that worship is the battle cry of all victories. There are three great lessons that we have to learn this morning. Let me see if I turn to them. Three great lessons when you're dealing with worship. You got the lesson of Joshua. You got the lesson of Moses. And I said, Joshua, Moses, let's just turn, let's give Moses respect. Let's go to Moses first. In the third chapter of Exodus. Yeah, Joshua, Moses, and Jehoshaphat. We're going to see what worship did in their life and how can we apply it to our life that worship become a battle cry, worship become a weapon of warfare. We get in the presence of God and give God the glory as we should give him the glory. Amen?
Amen.
God deserves the glory, right?
Yes.
How many of y'all know God deserves the glory?
Yes.
How many of y'all ready to give it to him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Worship is really honoring God. We know that. Let me find out where Moses is here. In Exodus chapter 3. If you dare, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock and to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now verse 2, now there's a discerning of spirit here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now notice verse 5, because in worship, this has to transpire. Both Moses and Joshua had to do the same thing. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And so we see that worship is, when you get in God's presence, you're in a position of holiness. You're in a position of holy ground. You're in a position where something can happen that could not happen no otherwise. Worshiping God, listen to me, is supernatural. Worshiping God provoked the supernatural. Because when you worship God, you open God's heart wider. Heaven come open wider when you worship God. And so here Moses, God is getting ready to use Moses to bring deliverance. And so he tell Moses, take the shoes off your feet. And I think to worship God, one of the things we have to take, self can't worship God. And self-will cannot worship God. So you need to take your shoes off. In other words, when you're worshiping God, whatever you say, whatever you tell me, whatever come up, I'm ready to do it. And that's how Moses was able to go in to Pharaoh's territory, whip him at his own game, and bring God's people out. Because he had an encounter with God. Worship caused you to have an encounter with God. It builds confidence in you that couldn't come from nowhere else. And when you face your challenges, you face it from the standpoint of already winning. I think everybody ought to have a burning bush experience. So now, let me give you a few principles here that I don't know if I get to Joshua. Well, yeah, let's look at Joshua. Let's look at Joshua. I want to have a consecutive backup here. Turn to Joshua chapter 5 so you'll see it more than one time. Joshua chapter 5.
Amen.
No sleeping up in here. Hallelujah. You got an extra hour and then turn the time back at 10 o'clock. You ought to be wide awake. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Joshua chapter 5. I'll find it after a while. I should have learned the books of the Bible. But I learned the Bible of the books. Joshua 5, now here's another case that discerning of spirit. Here's an angel another time. An angel appeared when a man needed help. Joshua 5 and 13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. That was another angel. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And watch this now, what happened? What happened here? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, humbling himself. I have one of my sons who traveled with us, Dr. Skelton. If the service get the moving, you look for him, he gone. He on his face. He'll fall on his face. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did what? Fell on his face. Man, we got to fight the battle of Jericho, and you gonna get on your face? Worshiping? See, down is up with God. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what sayest my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes. Got to get them shoes off, man. From off thy foot. For the place where thou standest is holy. And the Bible says, and Joshua did so. You know, we really have to take our shoes off. We can't go like we want to go when we get in the presence of God. And then, again, Joshua worshiped and took his shoes off before winning the battle of Jericho. You know, he went and took Jericho. Now, here's Jehoshaphat. Back against the wall, five armies against him, have prayed and still have no answer. Sometime you ever been there? It seems like nothing will happen. But then the prophets speak. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Then the prophets speak, and Jehoshaphat and his people begin to worship. Now I'm going to go ahead of myself to give you 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, then I'm going to give you some principles to work in your life that's outstanding, outstanding stuff. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You read that whole chapter sometime, you'll see it. I'm going to read the 18th verse. After all of this happened, he prayed, and he knew the king was against him, and then the prophet had spoken to him. You need not fight in this battle. And so in the 18th verse, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head. There he is again. With his face to what? To the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. Fell before the Lord. Worshiping him. You see that? Huh? 19th verse says, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Kohites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Say, praise him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Louder voice. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's let the Lord know we mean business.
Praise the Lord.
He's still active. He's still accepting worship. He's still accepting praise.
Praise the Lord.
It is still as effective today than it was in Jehoshaphat time. I'm the Lord, and I change not. Twenty-first verse says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that stood and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, they went and said the praises before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Say that, praise the Lord, for his mercy I don't know about you, but I need some mercy. I don't do what's right all the time, you know. Sometimes I miss it in my humanism, but I need mercy. Cry out for mercy, man. Cry out for it. God can do some things for you if y'all really cry out for it, you understand? My glory to God is right. You ready to shout? They sing praise to God. The leader fell on his face. They worship God. Now they got these armies still against them. Man, we about to ambush your problem. Anything working against you, we about to ambush you. Any difficulty that you're having today, the next verse, we about to ambush you. You'll know how to ambush the enemy and how to ambush, and you know how to take your stuff back. Verse 7, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which was come against Judah, and they were smitten. Sometime I have a few things I won't smit or smite. Look at the results. 25th verse. I couldn't pass this. My dad used to preach up to this. No, don't read it, but I'm going to read it. The end results after this. The end result. After a good worship and a good praise. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewel, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. It all started with worship. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. Look at the end of that voice, what it says. It was so much. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. Let me give you some principles to work now. You got 3 major battles. You know, Jericho wall fell down. You know, Moses brought the children out. Got before the Red Sea. God opened that Red Sea supernaturally. You know, the wall of Jericho fell. Huh? Yes, absolutely. And Jehoshaphat won his battle when the odds was against him. So worship, work with him when the odds are against you. It give you a fair shake. So worship is the battle cry of all victories. Now let's see why. Both Jehoshaphat, Joshua, and Moses, or Moses, Joshua, and Jehoshaphat, through worshiping, had circumstances that was not normal, and they couldn't handle them. So God sent them a messenger to talk with them, and they knew exactly what it was time to worship. When you can't seem like you're going to make it, take your time and worship him. Here's some things, reason why. And I hope the Holy Spirit just hit your heart to see these things. You know, God has a way of dealing with me when I'm preparing and praying. You know, I'd be all out in the gazebo, all on the porch, all behind the house. I'm trying to find what God won't say. He says, told me because of worship, because it invokes the presence of God. Worship invoked the presence of God. And in invoking the presence of God, it releases the I am-ness of God. God become I am to those who worship him. I am, what that mean? I am whatever you need at this very present moment. See? But worship invokes the presence of God. In other words, the presence of God is so important. God's presence. Some people have never experience the presence of God. But God will come in the room and overwhelm you. And there were moments I couldn't talk, couldn't move. God's presence was so thick, I was scared to move. See, And you're going to experience that. Yeah, because I'm speaking that on you right now. See, you get to a position where you can't doubt God. His presence will be so grand to you that nothing else matter. The presence of God. Say the presence of God. It's so important. He said, Moses said, who going with me? He said, I am. He said, my presence will be with you. You know what you have when you got God present with you? Huh? So it invokes worship, true worship, real worship, invokes the presence of God. And when you invoke the presence of God, it releases the I am-ness of God. I can hear God saying, you know, the thing have jammed you. God says, you know, worship and praise. I got this. Get up. Don't worry about it no more. I got this. Go get your sandwich. I got this. Drink your glass of tea. I got this. See, once you hear that, see, there's an awareness. There's a completeness. There's an anointing that you partake of. You just know you won the battle. The battle's still fighting, but you just know it because the I am-ness have showed up. Secondly, in worship, it programs your spirit to his spirit. It seems like when you worship God, your spirit become a internet plug. And it seemed like God began to download in you. Began to download in you. See, it's spirit on spirit now. See, it program your spirit. It program you to don't even think about losing. Don't even think about losing. So this is what happened. Sometime when we don't win, it's because our spirit haven't been programmed. We haven't been in the presence of God long enough for God to program his spirit with our spirit. Some people call it in touch. In touch with the spirit of God. Worship bring you in touch with the spirit of God, with the life of God, the ability of God. Are you following me? When you get before him and got your hand up, got your heart up and saying, God, nobody else I know but you. Now, when the Lord said that it programmed your spirit with God's spirit, then he came back to me. I said to my secretary, type this over, because I'm sitting at my desk. The Lord said, I'm going to give you a footnote for each one of these. The first footnote was, it releases the I am-ness of God. The footnote for this one is, he's turning your spirit or tuning your spirit to the right channel. Wow. See, you can't be all, there's channels in the spirit world. There are channels that you need to turn to at a certain time so you can see your future. Or you can, what? See, God, when you get before God, God will show you your future. He puts you on the right channel and say, oh, no, you're looking at the wrong thing here. You're looking at what the enemy is trying to do to you? No, wrong channel. Anybody here looking at what the enemy is trying to say? What are you trying to do? You on the wrong channel. See, in worship, it's turning your spirit to the right channel. What I said? Children, this is important that your spirit is on the right channel. Your spirit must be on the same channel that God's spirit is. Your spirit must be on the same channel with Jesus. Your spirit must be on the same channel with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit must be on the same channel of grace. Turn to the grace channel. What the grace channel said? My grace is sufficient. Don't worry about a thing. Turn to the faith channel. You you have any type of anxiety, any type of worry, any type of anxiousness, children, listen to me now. I'm your man of God. I'm going to speak to you because you got to get that anxiousness and that worry and this stress out of you. You're on the wrong channel. Because we know there's nothing God can't do. We've got the report. The question was asked, is anything too hard for God? The answer is no. So when worry and fear and stress and anxiety is on our life because we got a challenge, because we got a situation, a challenge coming against us, you're on the wrong channel. Worship will put you on the right channel. Worship will put you on peace channel. Peace that passes all understanding, that keeps your heart and your mind. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Tell somebody next to you, get on the right channel. Sit down a minute. When you before God, worshiping God, the reason those guys were able to win these three battles that was overpowering, they wasn't supposed to win. Now, I know I've had a lot of victories I wasn't supposed to win. But I had God on my side. See? Worshiping produced a momentum beyond imagination. Worship, you see, you worship in spirit and truth. It produced a momentum. I mean, you start rolling. It's the way we roll. You start rolling. Things start working out. I said, man, God, dog, this is so easy. But that momentum, it started rolling like, you know, like a snow ball running down side the mountain and picking up more snow as it goes. So, man, a momentum come in your life today. A momentum that cannot be stopped. May you go in motion right now. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That's a momentum we can get into. There's a spiritual, anointed momentum we can get into. The things that have been stopping us can't stop us no more. We're moving too strong. We're moving with too much power. I tell you, there's a momentum in worship. Worship put a momentum in your life, man. Come on now. Talk to me. What footnote you got there with that momentum? Shifting, lifting, and gifting. What I say? Shifting, lifting, and gifting. There's a shifting come. There's a lifting come. There's a gifting come that cause you to be in a momentum that if the shifting don't get it, the lifting get it. If the lifting don't get it, the gifting get it. But you just can't be stopped. Tell somebody you can't be stopped. Tell them, say, listen at your pastor. Listen at your pastor. Just listen at your pastor. It produces, worship produces a momentum that you can't get from nowhere else. You can't get it out of college. You can't get it out of politics. You can't get it from all this health food you're eating. It only comes from worshiping God. Shucks, you ain't gonna leave you up with no problem. Sit down. Hallelujah. I believe I can outrun the police this morning. I look at the two officers up there, I can outrun them. I don't believe they get me. And they're younger than I am. When you're worshiping God like that, watch this now. This is a good one. It protects your mind from wandering to some other source. Now, that's powerful, boy. Worship, you might think you can work it out some other way. I'm going to go talk to them people so they can help me out. Talk to this, somebody help me. I might go to the psychologist. And he's going to get you deeper in trouble. And now you come out all positive minded. It protects the mind from wandering to some other source.
How many of y'all mind ever wandered to another soul when you got in trouble? And it got you what? Deeper in trouble, right? You finally had to come back, right? Right. And the footnote here is, when you worship, I like a scripture. A scripture in Isaiah 23, I believe. Turn there, Isaiah 23. 26 and 3. Thank you, John. 26. Turn to Isaiah 26 and 3. And don't read it till I tell you. Just turn there and get your head back up. Who preaching this sermon? Me or you? You going to read the text before I read it? It protect your mind. Need to. How many of your mind wander if you don't catch it? It protect your mind from wandering to some other souls. See, when you're worshiping God, everybody else becomes small. Every other answer becomes deleted. When you're worshiping God, nope, that's not the right answer. I'm going with God. Your mind can't wander in the presence of God. He overwhelms your mind with his goodness, his grace, his love, his power, his glory. Overshadows your mind that Satan can't even get in. When you worship God, getting God present, it protects the mind from wandering to some other souls. You know, some other souls of help, some other souls of deliverance, some other souls of victory. Huh? And so I got you the Isaiah, right? 26:3. Don't read it yet. The footnote is focusing on the mind of God. What is the mind of God in this situation? This thing might have come against me for a reason. I might have been going the wrong way. There's a way that seemed right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So sometimes God permit a jackass to block us. And sometimes the jackass see before we see. That's scripture, you know. Who does Balaam? Don't kick the jackass till you find out what's going on. He might be there for a reason. You know you don't have some jackasses in your life. You know that. Find out what the jackass is there for first. You're just a temporary jackass, but you ain't gonna stay there. I'm shopping out because I'm preaching good. Well, I've had a few in my life. I don't know about you. I had a few that were blocking me out. Some was good and some was bad. Read that 26, 23 and 6. Now, John, what is it? 26 and 3. Read it. Come on, read it. Now, turn to Isaiah 54:17. It's warfare. Worship is warfare. But I read there's a worldly slogan that psychologists use, call it a win-win situation. You ever heard of that? A win-win, sir. You win, I win. Everybody win. It's a win-win situation. Well, there is a prevailing anointing released in worshiping God. There's a prevailing anointing released in worshiping God. That's what Joshua did. Joshua got in that prevailing anointing, tore the wall of Jericho down. Moses got in that prevailing anointing, Pharaoh didn't want them people to go 10 times. Supernatural manifestation hit Pharaoh so strong, Pharaoh said, man, take him. Yes, sir. There's a prevailing anointing released in worshiping God. And my footnote here is no weapon.
teleport to you, no weapon.
No weapon.
Once a person become a worshiper, Satan has no weapon that can stop that person. Maybe there's a weapon against you this morning. Maybe you in some court deal. I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe you got something working against you. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you two words. No weapon. Tell your neighbor. Now read Isaiah 54:17. Read it to me. No weapon. Every time. Give God praise. Come on now. That voice. Read Romans 8:31. Shoot, man. If God is for me, who can be against me? Huh? Read Romans 8:39. Nay. 37. Nay. Everybody in here worship God. Throw your hand out. Get some of this stuff in you, man. Get some of this stuff in you. Worship God. All these things. God told me to tell you that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper as long as you worship me. Nay, in all these things, you're more than a conqueror. As long as you worship me. As you worship me, if I'm for you, who can be against you? As you worship me, all things work together for good. For them that love God, who are called, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, and I worship God. All right, hold up. Let me get these two. I got to close. Let me get these two. Sit down. Get your pen. Because I like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Glory to God, I said. Glory, 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 glory. 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 Let me give you another one now. Get this one. You're going to need this, young lawyer. Get this one. The principle of worship paralyzes Satan forces. When you're worshiping right, you're paralyzing Satan. You got your shouting clothes? It means you're out of limits for the enemy. See? You're out of limit. When you're worshiping God, just what we were doing a few minutes ago, you're out of limit. See, he can't go there. You're out of limit. I received that check. You're out of limit. The principle of worship, listen to what I said. The principle of worship paralyzed satanic forces. So if all hell break out, start worshiping and break heaven out. Satan, you're going to turn hell loose. I'm going to turn heaven loose. You see what I'm saying? And it paralyzed Satan's forces and put you in a position that you're out of limit for the enemy. The enemy cannot come in the presence of God. He cannot come where a man's spirit been tuned into God. A woman's spirit is tuned into God. He cannot come in that room. He cannot come in that house. He cannot come in that car. He cannot come in that body. He cannot come in your finances. He just can't come in. And I close this morning with this factor. I want you to get this factor. Worship precedes all spiritual activities. Before you pray, before you read the word, before you make any type of confession, before you go to court in scriptures, the first activity in the spirit world is to honor him. Acknowledge that he's there. I know you're here, God. I'm thankful. Give him thanks. I'm thankful for what you have done for me. I'm thankful for what you're doing for me right now. I give you praise. I don't like to have somebody else seed in my hand when you put a seed in my hand. I give you praise. Now this last one, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Worship precedes all spiritual activity. Right? Got that? Why? It opens the heart of God wider. God have given you something to, not only will God open your heart, God have given you something to open his heart. Worship is a God heart opener. And when God heart opens, guess what? Watch me. Look at me. When God heart opened, at the same time, get it? At the same time, Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord is upon me." When you worship, the hand of the Lord come upon thee, enable you to outrun chariots. Talk to the sun stands still. The hand of the Lord is on. And then it opened heaven with all of its provision. You didn't get it. And it opened, worship precedes all spiritual activity. And when you're in the activity of worship, it not only opened God's heart and God's hand and moved God's arm, but it opened heaven. I wonder how much heaven got with all of its provision. Everything that heaven could provide. Turn to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you praise him?
Yes.
Come on, I want you to read it verse. I want you to read that verse. Come on. Ephesians 1:3. I want everybody to have it. I want everybody, because heaven, now I declare and decree heaven is open over you. And every principle that I read to you today is going to be validated in your life. Because God sent you here for a reason. So I'm saying right now that you have invoked the presence of God. Your spirit is programmed to God. I say that your life is in a momentum now. They're not going to even recognize you on the job. You're going to be moving, standing still, and moving at the same time. Because that's an anointing. Pop! That's an anointing, boy. I'm telling you right now. Your mind is protected from wandering. You don't have more than one soul now. One soul. My God shall supply all my need. You have number one soul. One soul. Say one soul.
One soul.
No weapon.
No weapon.
I don't care what come up this week. Look in the eye and say no weapon.
No weapon.
Said the apostle said no weapon formed against me. He brought it out of the word. I tell you, Isaiah 54:17. And now, Satan, don't try to move in my life because I'm going to worship God and you are paralyzed. Your mind go to bothering you. Your neighbor go to bothering you. People go to bother you on the job. Your crazy family members go to bothering you. Just people bothering you. Just get away by yourself. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou would do thyself for me, where could I go? And stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Come on, let's worship him a few minutes. Come on. Get your hand. Talk to him. Tell him. Some of y'all are dealing with stuff now. I told you how to get out of it. Just go ahead on praying him. Say, God, you the one. I know you the one. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. 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 The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. You worship him, he'll take it over. He deserved to be praised. Glory, 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 glory. He deserved that. Glory, glory. Yeah, Lord, we hear the word of life. We praise you. We worship you. We believe that you can handle anything. We believe that deliverance and victory is coming over the lives of all these people in this auditorium, all the people on the internet, all the people on Roku. The things we have learned this morning, we're going to put them into practice. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. We program in our spirit, with your will, with your wisdom, with your understanding, with your knowledge. We worship you. We worship you. Lord, we know you forgive us. We know we missed the mark. We know the blood of Jesus is taking care of that right now. We worship you. We know there's a shifting and a lifting and a gifting going over our lives right now. We praise you for it. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise his holy name. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. You know, I'll lose it. If I keep doing this, I'll lose it. Glory, glory. I lose it in the presence of God. I lose it. Glory, glory, glory. Abrapakasaya. Glory, glory. I praise him. I magnify him. Let the Lord be magnified. Glory, glory. Thank you, son. Thank you for what you've been doing for me. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my business. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the kingdom of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the cross. He paid it all. Hallelujah. Now, be a man or woman here that have not accepted Christ. I want you to come to the altar here. And then if God...